May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Recently, my wife Kathy and I went on a guided tour of Oxford Castle. We were taken up to the Norman Keep and then down to the crypt of the castle chapel. It was a dark and eerie place, just one or two oil lamps on the wall. The guide gave us a history of the crypt and mentioned in passing that a hooded monk was known to haunt the crypt at night, but then carried on with his history. And then suddenly there was a gasp of astonishment, and when we both looked round, we saw a hooded monk, a sort of ghost-like figure, gliding along the stone floor, walking around the crypt. But when it came to the last sort of corner and came towards us, I thought there was enough flesh and bones on that ghost. And I have to admit, as he passed, I realised it was the monk that I'd been talking to in the gift shop. But what a very different experience that the disciples had when Jesus appeared to them on the first Easter evening. Now, in the morning, Luke tells us that women had gone to the tomb, they found it empty, and they'd been told by two men that Jesus had risen from the dead, so the women came back and told the disciples, but they had not believed them. And then Jesus walks with two people on the way to Emmaus, and when he breaks the bread with them at the end of the journey, they recognize him, and they rush back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. But before the disciples have time to digest the news and to ask them questions, Jesus is standing there before them. And of course, they were startled and frightened. They thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus reassures them, and reassures them that he is alive. Because he shows them his hands and feet that probably had the marks of the nails and the cross on them. But he shows that his death and his resurrection was not a chance happening. It had been foretold in the scriptures. And also that there's a purpose of his coming to see the disciples at this point of time. Because he wants them to be witnesses of what they have seen and to preach about Jesus to all nations. And that's exactly what Peter is doing in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. He's talking to the crowd in Jerusalem after he and John have healed a crippled man. And he's saying that it's not through their power, but the power of Jesus that they have done it. And he also mentions that Jesus was the person whom they had disowned and rejected, handed over to Pilate, and had put to death. And yet, Jesus had risen, and they were witnesses to it. And that links us with our third passage from the first letter that John wrote, because John is addressing those who have responded to the witness and the preaching of the disciples. And he says that by accepting Jesus, we have become children of God, and that we should live righteous lives. Now, I'd like to develop on three ideas, one that comes from each passage. The first, because Jesus has risen from the dead, he's alive today, and we can turn to him for guidance and support in our daily lives. Once I was camping on a mountain with some Christian friends, that's about 2,000 feet up, and the purpose of it was to climb next morning a further 700 feet to see the sun rise. And I'm very keen on sunrises. One of the leaders had actually done it several times before, and we all assembled about 5 o'clock in the morning, and in the dark he guided us to a path that was partially concealed, and then he went first and guided us round some boulders, and he warned us that if there were any steep, if there were any loose stones on the steep path in case we slipped. And halfway up, he took us round to the other side of the mountain and then asked us if we would scramble up on our hands and knees with our torches until we got to the top. And we did get to the top quite safely, and we were rewarded with an amazing sunrise. And when I looked down, I realised that there was absolutely no way that we could have got to the top without the guide. We were totally dependent because there were parts of the mountain that were quite precipitous. We were totally dependent on that guide. And we need to be dependent on Jesus in the same way and to look for him for guidance and support in our lives. And I think sometimes life is quite complex. We have very difficult decisions to make, maybe at work or at home. There's just sometimes things seem to be against us. But through prayer and through faith, we can let Jesus guide us through those times, and he can direct us in the way that we should go and help us in the very difficult decisions that we sometimes have to make. And I have to admit that when I was climbing that mountain, I found it very difficult in places, and I wondered if I'd make it to the top. And as I said, we had to rely totally on the guide. And if we depend totally on Jesus, then he'll give us fulfilling life and real meaning and purpose to it. My second point is that we're encouraged to be witnesses to Jesus and to our Christian faith. Now, we can use the term witness in a very technical sense of being witness in a court, witness at a marriage, witness to someone signing a document, a legal document. Sometimes we can use it in a very general sense, being present at a very special event and just sharing that experience with other people. For example, recently I was at a wonderful rugby match at Goldington Road. Bedford were playing Doncaster. It was a beautiful day. The grass was as green as I've ever seen it. And there was a huge expectation amongst the crowd because Bedford and Doncaster were considered to be the in-form teams in the first division. And I think we were all very impressed by the skill of players on both sides. The quick passing of the ball, the speed of the runners, the power of the scrums, the linking up and communication between the players. The fact that Bedford managed to run in four tries before half-time naturally pleased the local supporters. But it was a wonderful match, great skill from both sides. Now, the reason I've told you this is not that I'm expecting you to be at the first match at Goldington Road next season, though that'd be very nice, but I've shared something that's very important in my life. And we all have things that are important. It could be our home and families, it could be an interest or hobby, it could be a holiday we've been on, it could be a play or concert or opera that we've been to see. And we like to share those things. But of course, the most important thing in our lives is our Christian faith. Something we live for, something that affects every aspect of our lives, something that gives meaning and purpose to our life and gives us joy and happiness. And just as we enjoy sharing the normal things of life, so we should enjoy sharing our faith with other people. And by that way, I think we are witnessing to Jesus in not only a very natural way, but a very effective way. And lastly, John, in his letter, encourages us to live righteous lives. Now, in my talk in the Lenten course, I defined righteousness as being having a right relationship with God and having the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, love, patience, kindness, peace, and so on. And of course, if we really want to understand what is meant by righteousness, we only have to look at the life and example of Jesus and try to follow his teaching on showing love and compassion to other people, trying to forgive others, trying to serve others and have a humble relationship with others, trying to have the right approach to wealth, to our money and possessions. But we can also learn from other people and other Christians and people around us, and also people who serve Christ in a very unusual way. Recently on television, there was an interview with Jackie Pullinger, with whom some of our students at school keep in contact. And she works in Hong Kong, and she used to work in the notorious Walled City before it was pulled down. But now she's working with people who've been involved in crime and drug addiction. and the others who serve the community, like the Sisters of Charity, who work in the slums of Calcutta and other poor parts of the world. And there are people like Martin Luther King, who out of his Christian conviction tried to bring social justice to the people in America. So we can learn from their example. But John gives us this great promise that by accepting Jesus, we become children of God. And if we try to live righteous lives and follow the example of Jesus, Jesus will be with us always, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Amen.